Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that. We all know that the afternoon show is not afraid of anything, really. Yeah. But
Afternoons on the Score.
Caleb is looking for just about anybody. This is where he really is devastating when he starts becoming a maestro. Look out. There it is. Touchdown. There's only one number 13. Look at him go.
You just humble yourself coming in the building. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially now with guys who play this game. We're going to see through it.
This is Heavyweight's the Crown. There's a lot of things that the rank and file football fan may be annoyed about with Caleb Williams. What do you expect this guy to be? Lives in L.A., plays for SC, is a star quarterback.
$10 million last year.
Come on, you should be confident and cocky.
What you did in college, the Hollywood, it's like, nah, that you got to prove yourself.
Would a nail say number one pick?
Probably.
Maybe.
I tell him, because I don't talk behind his back. I don't like the colored nails.
That's cool.
Really intelligent guy, easy to talk to, down to earth. You know, we've talked through this process about, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him on top of being successful. You know, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does.
The suit is going to be navy blue. It's very classy. It's very, I'm going to a business meeting, but it's also like, it's me. I'm number one.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
They're Hollywood as hell, but they're still very good.
What was this, Hollywood as hell?
Yes, they are Hollywood, but they're very good at the same time.
Hey, we've tried everything else. I'm ready for Hollywood as hell. Swaggy, confident, bordering on cocky. Caleb Williams coming to Chicago. Matt Miller is here. And we love him, longtime Score contributor. Now the bigwig over at ESPN. He'll be dominating day three of the NFL draft tomorrow. So we will get to 75. We will get to 122. But we want to cover a lot of stuff with you here. Let's start with Caleb Williams. Are the Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes comps fair?
Yeah, stylistically, they absolutely are. I don't think personality-wise he's anything like Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's anything like Russell Wilson. But you hear those as like player comps of, you know, some those guys when they were younger, you know, of the ability to move and create and to have that dynamic arm angle with elite arm talent. I think it's been really overblown how much he does play off schedule, because those are the highlights, the plays, you know, of running to the sideline, making the crazy throw. Those are the things you see on SportsCenter. But that's not who he is 80% of the time. He is playing in the pocket on schedule. Can't overstate the fact that USC had a terrible offensive line. They're not going to hear any of those names called this weekend. They had a terrible defense, one of the worst in college football. And a lot of times he was asked to, you know, early Jordan stuff. Just, hey, we're only going to win if you make this play, you know, or some of the stuff we saw from Mahomes in 2022 of we're only winning if you save us. That was Caleb Williams in 2023. So, but I do think stylistically, yeah, Pat, Aaron Rodgers, some early Russell Wilson, you know, before he lost some of the speed and agility that he has. So it's truly special. I mean, I've not been shy about saying this. One of the better prospects I've seen in my 13 years of covering the draft. I would put him ahead of Joe Burrow. I would put him ahead of Trevor Lawrence. And between he and Andrew Luck, like, it's a conversation. And I think I would take Caleb just because he's more dynamic with his athleticism.
Boy, it's exciting stuff. And the dynamism with the athleticism and outside the pocket, we saw some of that with Justin Fields these last 3 years in Chicago. But Caleb, even at that stuff, seems to be different. So before we get to on schedule, tell us why his off schedule is better than what Bears fans have seen.
Because he moves to throw. It's not he's moving to move or he's moving. And I like Justin Fields a lot. So I'll preface that. What I'm about to say, Justin never learned how to move to progress his reads. It was always one read's not there, oh, no, I got to move, and then I'm going to just use my elite athletic ability to save this play. And, you know, we certainly saw that from Justin, especially in 2022, you know, when he had, kind of a breakout season, I guess you would call it. I think with Caleb, the difference is that ability to always keep his eyes down the field. He's never panicked in the pocket, and he's using his feet to set up the throw. And that's where it's like Mahomes. We see Pat do things where he's like, fade, 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 and you're screaming at the TV like, you're running the wrong way, and then he throws and makes the big play. So I think that's what Caleb does with his feet. So you're going to hear, like, you know, this guy had 27 rushing touchdowns in college. If you've never watched him play, you're going to think, oh, no, here's another running quarterback. No, he's a throwing quarterback who can run. There's a difference.
So we'll see some climbing of the pocket. We'll see some moving in the pocket.
You're
going to,
I think, see
lanes.
More like bailing the pocket to create passing lanes, but it works with him because he has that shortstop-like ability to create arm angles, and his arm talent is so big that, you know, he's one of the few guys where you're going to say, hey, like, you can throw off your back foot. It's fine.
And when he is on schedule, when he is in that pocket, does he anticipate guys coming open and throw to them before they are?
Absolutely. And he doesn't turn the ball over. I know they're going to talk about the fumbles. That is probably the only issue in his game. But it wasn't like Daniel Jones-level fumbling. It's, hey, you're holding the ball too long. You're being a little careless. Let's just be a little more careful.
It's big game hunting, right?
Absolutely.
To what you were pointing earlier, he's trying to make crazy big plays.
Absolutely.
He often did. He sometimes didn't.
So, no, but when he plays on schedule, it's clean. It's pretty. It's anticipatory. Now, Lincoln Riley's offense doesn't have a lot of that. You know, it's not a complex offense. We've seen that with every quarterback he's developed. There has been that learning curve to a degree. So if you're thinking, like, what could the early struggles be, it is just going to be that 1-2-3 getting through the progressions. But I've never watched him and thought, oh man, this guy can't get to his third read. You did see that with Justin Fields at Ohio State.
All right, Rome Odunze, what's the NFL comp that you like?
Ja'Marr Chase. I do a comp show for ESPN of, like, I'll do 50.
Not Neighbors, Odunze.
Yeah, Odunze,
oh,
Ja'Marr
yeah.
Chase.
Okay.
Physical, and not like, he's not 6'5", but he plays so big. 6'3", 215, but you can't beat him when he posts you up. You can't do it. If you watch him in 2022 when he was a little healthier, you see the speed, you see the burst. They're using him on jet sweeps. They're using him on shallow crossers, and he's just running guys.
He had that 83-yard punt return.
Right.
Yeah.
This year, you know, he's got the punctured lung. Probably the best story, and I'm sure your listeners have heard it many times.
I told it last night.
Punctures his lung in Arizona, and it's like, oh, well, I can't fly. Let's get in the car and drive home to Seattle so I don't miss anything. And then you beat Oregon 10 days later. The guy's a warrior. And you saw that in 2023 of the, like, I'm just going to be a bully. I will 50-50 balls. I said this on TV. 50-50 balls with him are 90-10. You are not going to beat him for the ball because there's a hunger for the ball. There's no attitude to his game at all. So, like, you guys are going to get a chance to get to know Keenan Allen, and you're going to think, is that Rome Odunze's older brother? Because there's, like, no ego there. It's, I want to be a great wide receiver. I want to run the best routes you've ever seen. I want to help my team win. Like, that's who Rome is as a player and a person.
Just because a wide receiver is big doesn't mean they have the ability to go up and get it. We've had Chase Claypool in this town. We had N'Keal Harry in this town. Big bodies who are supposed to be guys. He seems to have what I like to call guagi, where you go up and get it. It's a mix of the catch radius and the jumping ability and high-pointing the ball. He has everything you need to do that skill.
He's like a small forward, you know, where it's like you have the agility to make people miss and to create separation on your own. But when you do face a corner that has the speed to stick with you, you have the body to create your separation that way. I think that's something that gets lost when people watch the NFL. They're like, you have to separate with speed. That's not true. You just have to be able to separate. You can do it with your body. You could do it with your vertical ability. You could do it with good route running.
Like,
remember
feet.
Michael Thomas coming out of Ohio State. People were like, oh, he ran a 4.6. He can't separate. BS. Got 119 passes. You know, he can separate. He just does it. It doesn't always look like Tyreek Hill. And I think that's where the thing with Rome is. Okay, well, he's not as fast as Neighbors, but the way he separates, I think it translates better. Rome was my number 3 overall player in the draft. He was my number 2 receiver, and I like him more than I liked Neighbors, even if you just look at the film. So not the off-field stuff, just the film. Rome is, I think, a better receiver than Neighbors.
The reason I bristled a little bit is because, like, what I thought about Chase, what's so incredible about him is that he can take the 6-yard slant and go 60 yards with, like, the breakaway speed. And Neighbors has some of that on film. So I thought more of the, like, the crazy footwork, like the Devontae Adams, the Drake London type
of
thing.
But his build is, you know, and like Jamar is a stocky guy.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, I look at that build and, you know, like 6'3", 215 is a dude. Like,
yeah.
He's rocked up. That is a man that you're trying to tackle out there. And there, you know, there aren't many, a lot of our receivers now are like 6'2", 200 pounds, you know, and he, so he's a different type of body.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
By the way, Matt, I've been trying to make Guwagi happen as a scouting attribute.
I'm going to work on that. Yeah, I'm going to get that in.
Like 7 or 8 years.
Spell that. G-U-A-G-I.
Go up and get it.
I'm going to say that tomorrow on TV.
Oh, my God.
Will you?
I'm going to.
Dude.
Please remind me.
For what receiver?
I have an official definition of it.
Javon Baker from UCF.
He's got.
Because he actually does it. He has Guwagi. I got to remember this.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Matt, it's been a dream for a long time.
Javon Baker, Central Florida.
And he'll be a day three pick?
I hope so, because he's the one that automatically came to mind. If he goes tonight, I'm going to be pissed now. No, I'll be happy for him, but I will find someone
to say Guwagi, Saturday. To say Guwagi on ESPN.
I've been trying to make Fetch happen this for is a like big 8 years.
There's some tight ends who have Guwagi.
Yes.
See, I'm starting to work it into the lexicon.
Yes. Oh, my God. All right, I will text you. What time do you go on the air?
Noon.
Noon Eastern?
Yep.
All right, I'm texting. I'm setting an alarm just to text you tomorrow at 11:55.
This is going to happen. And I need Chicagoland to lose it when I do.
Well, don't worry.
This is why I've been into Keon Coleman. It's why I've been into Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah.
You know? But
Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell seems to be a guy that nobody wants to coach. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you know, he's a type 1 diabetic. And I think the reports are, let's go there. The reports are that when he isn't on top of his disease, you know, he becomes a little bit difficult to deal with. I think that, you know, my dad's a diabetic. I you know, you understand it. It's something that, yeah, you have to be on top of, right? It's not, we're not making light of a disease the guy has. He needs to manage it better. He's 21 years old. I think he's going to learn how to do that. And he's going to be a fantastic pro.
All right. Let's, I mean, God, there's so many stories from yesterday that are compelling with you. What did you make of what the Falcons did?
I absolutely hate it.
Okay,
and
cool.
We live in a day and age where people who have my job, like, and I appreciate this, we talk about the player, and we want to celebrate that player's moment of realizing their dream, and they've made it to the NFL, and let's talk about all the good things they do. Yeah, Michael Penix is great. I think he's the prettiest thrower in this class. He's a great young man. The Falcons made a bad pick, and that has nothing to do with Michael Penix Jr. at all. They gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed, $120 million over 4 years. He's 36 years old. He's coming off an Achilles, and they paid him that much money. And then instead of drafting a defender to maybe help him get off the field every now and then, or hell, even if you've got another wide receiver,
sure.
I probably could have justified that of, hey, we're going to have like the most explosive offense in the South. They drafted his backup, who turns 24 tomorrow, and is only under contract for 5 years. He'll be 29 years old when his contract ends. So he and Kirk Cousins are going to hit their contract years at the exact same time. What is your plan there? It's like, in your best case scenario, the player you spent the number 8 pick on in the NFL draft doesn't play for you for 4 years.
It's insane.
At which time his contract expires, you don't know if he's any good or not.
The one report I thought might give it a little bit of an explanation was the tampering thing on Cousins. Like, is this contract going to go under based on some tampering investigation?
Yeah.
But apparently that's not even
possible. Here's the thing. So, like, even if that were the case, the Falcons are still dumb for tampering. Like, everyone tampers. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. So even if it's the Falcons, or let's say they lose next year's first-round pick for tampering, and they're like, oh, man, we got to get a quarterback of the future while we can. You still messed up with your asset management. And, like, you could have traded back. You didn't have to worry about the Bears taking him at 9. You didn't have to worry about the Jets at 10. I think the Vikings were going to take McCarthy over Penix regardless.
Peyton is telling everybody it was Bo Nix no matter what.
Right.
You buy that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Did you like – because I always say that in the media, those of us that don't follow it as closely as you do, and fans especially, they will listen to all of your guys' mock drafts, and they'll say, okay, J.J. McCarthy was supposed to go 4th, and Dallas Turner was supposed to go 8th, and they got them at 10 and 17.
Yeah.
So therefore, great draft. Or if the mock drafts have a guy going 20th and they draft him at 15, it's like a reach. It's like,
right.
Or the GM was right and the media was slightly wrong. You know, so, but do you believe that the Vikings had a home run draft? Because according to the mock draft value, they absolutely did.
So I do think they had a home run draft just because I think they got two good players. And there were two
positions
of need.
Yeah.
Years ago, I gave the Browns draft a really bad grade. And Browns fans came at me and they're like, well, we got like 6-year top 100 players. I'm like, that's cool. We're not building an all-star team. Like, you're trying to build a football team, and getting 6 of my top 100 doesn't take into account positional value. It doesn't take into account team needs, future contracts, scheme fit. It doesn't – none of that, right? And so, to your point, Danny, I think sometimes people do look at that of like, we got two guys that are supposed to go in the top 10. This is an A-plus draft. That's not always the case. I do think for Minnesota it was a good draft just because they didn't have to give up 23 to go get McCarthy. They were able to stay and use 23 to get to 17 to get Dallas Turner, who I had Dallas Turner as my top defensive player in the class. I think he was my number 8 overall player. I was a really big fan of his. And I wasn't as high on McCarthy, but I think Minnesota's offensive infrastructure is so good that you could have drafted any quarterback, and I would like that.
Matt, the Bears' most glaring need is an edge rusher opposite Montez Sweat. They're at 75 right now. If they don't move up, is there an edge rusher who might be there? Adisa Isaac, Penn State, Austin Booker, Kansas, anybody like that?
I think the first name that came to mind was Adisa Isaac. I think he'll come off the board a little bit earlier than that. Chris Braswell from Alabama, something I would be really interested in just because I think his power contrasts really well with Sweat speed. Austin Booker is a little bit of a project. If you watch him play against Texas, there are a couple players where you're like, oh, man, that guy's going to be special. The rest of the year, he might not do anything, though. So he's more of a developmental guy. I don't know that the Bears are in a spot to draft in the third round a developmental pass rusher necessarily. Mm-hmm. But he would certainly be intriguing. Javon Solomon from Troy would be kind of interesting as well as another guy who's, you know, has some traits, a little bit juiced up. Braden McGregor from Michigan, probably in the 4th round with 122, I think he would come into play. But there's good value at edge rusher. And I would say, and like Poles knows this, at edge rusher in the 4th round, draft traits. Just like find a guy that, you know, ran a 4.5 and has 34-inch arms and try to coach them up. That's what you're trying to do at that point of the draft.
You know Poles a bit, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be good at this.
Yeah, I saw him at the Michigan Pro Day, and I wasn't going to bother him, but he came up to me and says, like, oh, well, you messed up. We're going to talk now. And, you know, the first question I said, hey, how's Caleb? And he just started laughing. He was like, Caleb's great. We love Caleb's awesome. And I was like, tell me something that, like, isn't out there about him. And he was like, all the kid cares about is football. He just wants to win. Like, all this other stuff is not him. He just cares about football. And so, yeah, Poles is great. You know, the Kansas City connection, we've known each other for quite some time. He's a really, really good evaluator.
He's good at he's good at drafting centers, right? He's good at looking at centers, but haven't had a good one here really since Olin Kreutz. Yep. Cedric Van Pran going to be there at 75 to consider. Tanner Bartolini from Wisconsin. Center?
It's a really good center class. Tanner Bartolini, fastest 3-co time ever for a center prospect. 3-cone is a really good indicator of interior offensive line success. Jason Kelsey had the fastest 3-cone time for a center before Tanner Bartolini. So that's definitely an indicator that you can look at. It's a really good Hunter Norzad from Penn State is another really agile center. So it is certainly like fourth round, pretty deep at center. I talked to an offensive line coach in the NFL. He thought there were 10 starting centers in this class. So it's one of those years where you might not even have to go to the third round. You might be able to get like Charles Turner. And I know you guys have day 3 picks right now. But like a Charles Turner from LSU in the 5th or 6th round has starter level traits.
Is there a – because, yeah, I think it's
– or Drake Nugent from Michigan. That's who I would want for you guys, Drake Nugent from Michigan.
Drake Nugent from Michigan. Tell us about him.
No, I mean, you know, to be the pivot guy on that Michigan offensive line says a lot about your intellect, your toughness, how much they ran the ball, and they were never, like, in the wrong checks ever. So I think mentally he can handle stepping in right away. But the movement is really good. Like, he's a high-level athlete. So – but, again, he's probably going to be a 5th-round pick, so you could, you know, take him in the 4th if they feel like – we need to get a center in this class, to your point. you know, I think he's a starter and maybe even as a rookie.
Okay, because Spieg said edge rusher, and I think on paper it is the biggest need, but they have just said they need another pass rusher. Is there a three-technique interior defensive line? Because if they're good, they go early, but is there
yeah,
some value
but, you know,
left?
Only one went last night, Byron
right.
Murphy.
Yeah, the kid from Illinois is still available.
Right,
Johnny Newton's still available. Now?
Braden Fisk, is, you know, there's some injury stuff there. He's a little bit older of a prospect, so he could – I don't think he's getting out of the second round, but, you know, he's – in the third round, I think they're – the third round, you're starting to either take a character risk or an injury risk is probably the thing. But a guy like Mason Smith from LSU, Danny, you would walk into a room with him and say, that looks like Chris Jones, because they're built identically. Mm. And there are flashes. He was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, but he tours ACL the first game of 2022, celebrating, tours ACL, missed the season. 2023, there were moments where you were like, damn, that dude is nice. Like, he's going to be a first-round pick. But he just, you could tell he wasn't completely healthy, wasn't all the way back. But, like, next year, he'll be 2 years from the ACL. You feel really good 2 years after ACL for these guys. Like, he could be an absolute steal in the third round.
That feels like a Poles guy.
Yeah, it could.
If it's a Chris Jones.
Yeah,
comp.
And it's LSU. And one thing about Poles is, like, he's going to go big schools. He's going to go, like, guys who have been coached well, they've been developed, they've been productive. You know, and I think that's a Brett Veach thing, too. Of like, we're going to go with, like, proven players, especially in the first round. Like, let's not get cute. Let's draft guys that we know can ball.
All right, man. This is very exciting. I can't wait to watch you. You're going to say Guwagi on TV.
Yes, you're going to text me and remind me.
When do you want the text? Do you want it while you're on TV?
Yeah, maybe like 12:15.
So after the broadcast is
or,
started.
Or, you know, if ever – I will have Twitter up to check during commercials because, number one, I want people to tell me if I have something in my teeth or anything. You know,
okay.
Or, like, if I say something stupid,
yeah.
Let me know. So, like, folks, just, like, start tweeting me tomorrow, like 12:15.
Just start tweeting Guwagi.
Oh, my God.
Guwagi.
Yeah. Parkins and Spiegel mob, Guwagi
yeah.
mob,
yeah.
Which even predates Parkins and Spiegel because it goes all the way back to Jay Cutler saying, you know, Devin Hester, he's not really a go-up-and-get-it guy. And I was like, oh, that's a kind way of saying that because
yeah.
Devin never was. And we need some. And
where
we
are the
seem
sponsorship opportunities if Shane and I got a Guwagi tattoo?
Oh,
where
dude,
are we at on this?
That's a good question.
You know?
Shane already has some pretty questionable
tattoos.
As do I. I have the bar I met my wife at tattooed on my
that's
bicep,
not questionable. So, that's
you know,
special.
It was named Guwagi?
Yeah,
the odds
weird.
Of that?
I'm going to open a bar and call it Guwagi.
Would you get a Guwagi tattoo?
Yeah. I have no problem.
Oh, my God.
How does
– I'm distracted.
I have a lot of tattoos,
this is
so
one
it's
of,
fine.
No,
this
know,
is one of the greater moments of my life.
Where do you need it, though? Where do you want the tat? My arms are kind of
forehead?
Covered.
No,
I can't be – no neck.
Yeah, no
go.
TV.
And no hands.
On under the left arm as you're raising up to high
yeah.
point a ball.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, because go up and get it.
Yeah, you're going up and getting it.
Rib cage tattoo?
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm in good
tattoo.
Enough shape for a rib cage tattoo. That's the only question.
As long
know?
As Roma Dunze is, that's
right?
all I care about.
Wow. Okay.
It's a big moment.
This
man.
Is big, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We've done a lot for this movement. We've talked to Bears tight ends about it. We talked to the guy who did the grades for Madden to try to get it added
yeah.
to the game.
I'll tell you
oh,
what.
That would have been great.
I once brought it up to Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus
yeah.
on the air. He shot me down. I hate that guy.
Tall people, man.
you know? They don't even have to go up and get it. They
right?
Just,
they don't.
They,
no,
they
exactly.
just get it.
You talk to the wrong guy at PFF. You need to find someone who's like 5'6".
Sam Munson.
Should
yeah.
ask Munson.
Yeah, ask the Scottish guy.
That's
you
on
know?
Me.
That was a joke.
Me.
You call him Scottish, he gets pissed off. So it's
he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Matt, we're thrilled for your success, man, and thank you for making so much time for us.
Yeah, you know, I just went up and got it in my career. So
you sure do. He is at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter.
I might cry.
You will see him on the NFL Draft coverage tomorrow night, and he will be saying Guwagi on ESPN for Matt Spiegel and the 670 The Score audience. Thank you, Matt. This was fun, man.
Yeah, of course, guys.
If you missed our conversations with Caleb and Rome, you'll hear that coming up at 5 o'clock. Also, Olin Krutz, we need to hear what he had to say about Caleb Williams and some massive names around the NFL reacting to the big day for the Bears. We got a lot more to do. Parkins and Spiegel live in Detroit on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.